Scripture, you just have the writers use one of the other terms. For example, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, faith, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Sometimes it uses the word repent. It all implies not trusting in yourself, changing your mind about your former rejection of Christ, and now turning to him in faith and receiving him as your Savior. I also appreciate the doctrinal statement of Dallas Theological Seminary. They say this: we believe that the new birth of the believer comes only through faith in Christ, and that repentance is a vital part of believing and is in no way in itself a separate and independent condition of salvation. So a person trusts in Christ, he or she abandons his or her false notions about the Savior and embraces the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is God's provision for our eternal salvation. When you find Peter and others calling for repentance, it's a change of mind. And then in faith, they are now trusting in Christ, he and he alone, for forgiveness of sin. And that's exactly what he's saying in verse 19. Repent, therefore, turn again, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So that's the result of salvation. Your sins are blotted out. The penalty for sin is eternal separation from God. But those who trust in Christ, because he bore our iniquity in his body on the tree, our sins are blotted out. They are wiped out. The penalty is no longer there. We are declared righteous, not guilty, because of Christ. It's he and he alone that saves. Peter saying to this crowd, you crucified your Messiah. You didn't recognize him as your Messiah. Repent. Change your mind about who Christ is, what he did, that through him you can have forgiveness of sin. Turn to him in faith, and your sins will be blotted out. Then he says that times of refreshing may come for the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So Peter announced if they repented and turned to Christ, their sins would be forgiven. So that was a promise for every individual who trusted in Christ. But then I think we see a promise for the nation of Israel as a whole, this time of refreshing. Because you read it in its context, this time of refreshing, then he goes on of sending Christ, referencing his second coming, restoring all things about which God spoke about the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So that's still in the future, the coming kingdom. I think Peter saying here, which did not happen. I mean, people got saved. We'll see that at a later date. But the nation as a whole did not repent and accept their Messiah. Many did. That's why the gospel went to the Israelite first, the Jew first. But also many rejected. I think Peter said, repent now so these times of refreshing could come. The kingdom could be set up. But that's still future from today. Because that did not occur. We see the gospel going to the Jew first, Samaritan. We'll see this transition in Acts, and then to the Gentiles. But the gospel is for anyone, Jew or Gentile, all people. Because God died for the world. Not a certain people group. He died for everyone. But Peter, they preached the gospel first here to the Jews, and then it spread. There is coming a day that he's restoring all things. There's coming a day where there will be no longer suffering or pain. Only righteousness will dwell. God's going to restore all things. That's, I think, what he referenced to. Then he says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you. Now he's talking, going back to Christ. Christ was a prophet, but he was also God. Prophet, priest, and king. He's all things to all men. He's the Son of God. And he preached good news of salvation, that through him anyone could be saved. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet, to Christ, shall be destroyed. We see those who reject Christ is eternal condemnation. But the good news, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus provided a way for us to be saved. That's what Peter was preaching. The message, Isaiah 53 and elsewhere. He came. He fulfilled it. God raised him again from the dead. And now he offers salvation, forgiveness of sin for all who repent and turn to him and are converted. All the prophets, verse 24, who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The nation of Israel, their rejection of Christ made them especially guilty because the Jews were the privileged sons of the prophets and of the covenant. So they had sinned against a flood of light. But as I said earlier, all of us are guilty. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. That's why he died for the world. Then quoting from Genesis 22:18, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 22, just to give you some context, and we'll come to a close here. God tells Abraham to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. So he goes up the mountain. And we find in Hebrews that Abraham believed, this is the faith of Abraham, that if God was asking him to do this, God would raise him from the dead. Because God had given him a promise that through his offspring, he would bless the nations. But God was just using that to test Abraham's faith and also to show it was a type of the death that God's one and only Son would die for the sins of the world many years later. So as Abraham in Genesis 22 raises up his hand, God stops him, said, no, that's not your job. Isaac is your one and only son, but I'm going to send my one and only son, John 3:16. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. But because of your faithfulness, all nations will be blessed. Because it was from David's lineage, from Isaac, all the way down, that Jesus, the Messiah, was born. That is how all nations are blessed. Because Christ came into this world at the right time, born of a woman, born of the virgin, as prophesied, fulfilled, lived a sinless life, and then laid down his life for the sins of the world. And then verse 26, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. You see how he personalizes it? The gospel is for every one of us. And it's our decision to accept it or to reject it. To change our mind and trust in Christ, or to live in a state of continual rejection. That's your choice. God will not force himself upon you. This is what I did for you. You can trust me. My word is true. I fulfilled it with 100% accuracy. Jesus is the Son of God who became the Lamb of God. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ. It's the same message that Peter preached. It's the same gospel message today. All of us deserve eternal separation from God because we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature. Therefore, we all need a Savior. That's why Jesus came. If you could earn heaven, Jesus never would have had to come. But the truth of the matter is, we needed a Savior. That's why he came. Fulfilling prophecy foretold by Samuel, Isaiah, Zechariah, and others. He fulfilled it. He died for you. He bore my sin, my wickedness, in his body on the cross. And he bore your sin as well. Today can be your day of salvation. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, today, cry out to him and ask him to forgive you, to save you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings that we have because of Christ.